But it's great to be back with you and be able to share a little bit about what's happening in Nicaragua and also a little bit about what's happening around the world. We're going to look into the scriptures today and see a lot of the famous missionary verses. So we're going to take you to places you've been before, but we want to talk a little bit about missions and what God is doing. And as always, we're here to recruit. So watch out. We do want to recruit you to be a part of missions in some way. Everybody can be a part in some way, so we want to do that today. But we're going to start with a video today that I want you to kind of focus in and really get a grasp of the numbers of people that need Christ around the world and a little bit about our mission, ABWE, we're the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, a little bit about what they're doing around the world and how you can be a part of what's going on today. Yeah, the sound didn't come up.
It's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. ABWE has been serving the church as it obeys the Great Commission. What started in Asia with one missionary grew into a global movement. Today, ABWE helps nearly 500 like-minded, gospel-centered churches equip and send ambassadors for Christ to the ends of the earth. ABWE is committed to gospel proclamation, disciple making, planting healthy churches, and training national leaders. Christian, every church is called to make disciples of all nations. Join us.
You hear it say there, every Christian, every church is called to make disciples. And it's because we have a message that is an important message for the world, a message of hope. And thank you, ladies, for that song, because that song encapsulates that hope. That was just incredible to think about that. And when you think about those disciples, when they saw Christ resurrected, they had a reason to go out and preach Christ. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, do you think they would have all gone to very violent deaths, preaching about someone who was dead? Not I. I would not have done that. And it was sad. This week, we got a letter in the mail, a handwritten note from, it appears to be a young lady, inviting us to celebrate the crucifixion of Christ. And you can figure that out. That might be the JWs. That had a brochure of theirs in there, and it talked about celebrating the crucifixion of Christ and coming to their church for a celebration of that. And I thought, man, that's the saddest thing I could do. It's all about, really, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ that gives us hope. I mean, when we think about the millions of people today that are dying around the world, it is that hope of the resurrection that we're taking to them when we take them the gospel, that idea that Jesus Christ has died for their sins, Jesus Christ was dead, was buried, and he rose again, and he can offer us eternal life as well. That's an important message, and that's what missions is about, is taking that message to every part of the world and making disciples of all peoples around the world. If you'll open your Bibles today, we'll go to Matthew chapter 24 and talk a little bit about a couple of different ideas and missions, and they all center around therefores in the Bible, and you know what's coming. The old question, What is the therefore? Therefore, right. Yeah, you know how that works. And we're going to go to Matthew 24 to start out on this and look at a little bit of that in Matthew 24. Matthew 24:36 is where we'll start today. We have an important message, and we have sent missionaries for ages. Even Paul himself, the New Testament writer of a great portion of the New Testament, was going from city to city, taking that message wherever he went, sharing that message. He had a team of people together to do that. And as he was going out, it was all about sharing that message. Well, we want to talk today a little about different points and missions that we all can be a part of in some way, hopefully, as we look at these passages today. And we're going to start with this one here in Matthew 24:36. You ready? It says, "But concerning the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will it be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one left." And here's our verse that we're going to focus on. Verse 42 says, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Our first point today is to look at that, stay awake, to be mindful, know what's going on around you. There's a lot of ways to do that in our world today. You can have that on your phone. You can have that on the TV. You can have a radio on. You can do that. You can know what the news is. You can know what you're being, you know, whether you trust news or not. You're getting information all the time. It's coming at you. And now you go to stores and there's TVs all over the place. There's a screen everywhere giving you information about something. Are you awake and are you mindful? Do you know what's going on around you? There's a challenge in that. And you wonder, what is that therefore, therefore? This therefore stay awake is there. Why? Because earlier he said concerning that day and hour, no one knows. We don't know when Christ is returning. We look around us and we see the world in turmoil and we always can say, I've said my whole life, man, look at what's going on. Christ could come back anytime. So did the disciples. Can you imagine them looking at the Roman Empire saying, man, what a mess. Christ is going to return any day now. All through the Middle Ages, you can imagine going through the Black Plague and just saying, man, the world's at an end. Christ is coming soon. We're always saying that because we look at our circumstances and we know we don't know when Christ is coming back, but it sure looks like today could be the day. When I was in high school, I had to do a book report, and I picked Hal Lindsey's Late Great Planet Earth. Now, that takes some of you way back to your youth. I had my maps. I had it all marked out, what was going to happen at the end of the world. Here's what Russia was going to do. Russia especially was the big picture there. They're going to do all this stuff. And then just shortly after that, the Russian, you know, communist Russia fell. And we thought, oh my goodness, we're going to have to rewrite all the books. And we did in our minds because we thought things have changed and the gospel's entering into the Ukraine and into Russia and churches are being planted all over the place. And it was just that short period of time where we had that window of opportunity. And here we are today. And you say, I've got to get out the old books again and go back and look at what they had to say because those things look just the way they did back when we were kids. Maybe that nuclear threat is still there that we worried about. And those things come back around and we say to ourselves, we don't know when Christ is returning. The world around us is always in some sort of turmoil. Like Matthew also, other portion says, there will be wars and rumors of wars all the time. And we don't know when Christ is returning. Therefore, do what? Stay awake. Be mindful. Are you awake today? We do have to be awake. And what that means is just be mindful. Know what's going on. And when I talk about this in regards to missions, it is good to know what's going on in the world around us. And you'll have to say in some ways it is sad because there are countries like Russia that has closed down to missionaries. China has closed out missionaries in many ways. Some of those countries are closing, but other countries are opening up. Some of those countries that are closed have already sent out missionaries, and we just see a world missions movement that's incredible. Where Many have in the past accused Christianity of being a North American religion or a European religion. Do you realize that it is spread out throughout the whole world? Somewhere 20 to 25% of Christians live in Asia, probably more than that now as it's growing rapidly. Another 20 to 25% in Africa, another 20 to 25% in South and Central America. And so it is truly the world religion. It's everywhere. Christianity is everywhere. And missionaries now are going from those third world countries that were once receiving nations are now sending out missionaries. And so you just see a rapid growth in missions around the world. And it's good for us to know that and hear that because it takes us outside of just praying for a small missions movement that we think is happening from North America and realize that we need to be praying for missionaries around the world. Nicaragua receives a lot of Korean missionaries because churches were planted there in the 40s and 50s. And now they're sending missionaries all over the place. It's exciting to be able to rub shoulders with them and see that God is doing a work through other countries now all throughout the world. And we want to be a part of that by staying awake, by being wary and knowing what's going on around us. You notice as it goes down a little bit further, it says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." That idea is there that as his servants, we should be mindful of what's going on and active in the work in some way. However God has called you or wherever God has put you to be active in the work, wherever God has placed you. Because obviously, I don't live in this part of Florida, and so I don't have access to the people that live around you. Only you do. And so it's your responsibility to be the witness and the discipler of those people. And so who is the faithful and wise servant? That one who is giving food to the household, that is meeting the needs of the people where they are. That's how Christianity has spread so rapidly around the world. It's because the average person in the church is out spreading the gospel. It's not because of the professionals that do that all the time. Right? If you want to see real church growth, it happens because everyday people are out sharing the gospel with their neighbor. And they're bringing them, they're discipling them. And you see that in this. It is us staying awake, being mindful of what's going on. And then when you think about that, if you have a guard on the wall, you want them to be awake, right? You want them to be mindful, see what's going on. But then they also have another responsibility. And what is it? To ring the bell. I see something. You don't want them just up there admiring the troops that are coming towards you. Like, wow, they are well fitted. They really have some great weapons. You want them to ring the bell, sound the horn, do whatever they have to do to tell everybody. It is that way in the church as well. When we think about missions, it is important to have those people who really are focused on missionaries and know what's going on, and then they need to sound the alarm. Let everybody else in the church know what's going on as well. So it's good to find those people within your church that will be the gatekeeper, that person that's going to be up there and say, I'm going to keep track of that family, and I'm going to let everybody know what's going on. Now, missions may not be your thing. We all have different things that we're really interested in. You might be interested in teaching. You might be interested in missions. You might be interested in discipleship. But that's why we need certain people that will say, it'll be my responsibility to watch that family. And I'm going to make sure that everyone knows what's going on with them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to focus on them. It is kind of helpful to have that kind of person that really takes it as their responsibility to pray for a specific family of missionaries or a certain person and let everybody know what's going on. Now, we try and make that as easy as possible because we keep printing these cards with our pictures on them. Maybe you have a few of them and you can watch us grow older over the years as you look at your fridge and see that happen. You also see that our kids have moved on. Our kids are in college. Emma's going to graduate this year from Florida Southern up in Lakeland, and Peter is at University of Alabama working on a master's up there. God has provided miraculously for them, so it's just us on the picture. So we're able to make it a little skinnier and let this fit right into your Bible. So you can put this in your Bible or on your fridge. I know how it goes. But put this in your Bible and have it there to pray whenever you feel led to do that. And we try to give you a lot of different ways to connect. Now more than ever, you can connect with your missionaries. It's not like when Laura was a kid, her dad had a ham radio and people would come over and they'd try to contact families in South America from their house. I mean, that's pretty cool. But now I can pull out my phone and call friends in Nicaragua on WhatsApp. There's nothing holding you back from connecting with missionaries. And you can do that through email. We have a Facebook group that has updates all the time. We have Instagrams coming and things like that, so there's lots of different ways to do that. That information's on the card, and there's also a way you can scan it with your phone out there and do that. So we try to make that easy, but I challenge you to pick a missionary, at least one missionary family from your church, and focus on them and make them your missionary. And that way, there's someone out watching for them. There's someone that is awake and knows what's going on for that family and lets everybody else know if there's news that needs to be prayed for at a specific time. And that's going to take us to the next point, is that we need to be in prayer for those missionaries. And so let's go to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 9 now and focus on this. Matthew chapter 9, 35. Another famous passage, and one we're going to really focus on today, because this is where I was saying that we can do some more recruiting. We want to recruit everybody to be on board with this second point, and that is to pray for the harvest. It says in Matthew 9, 35, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." When you come back to this passage, it's a challenge to us all to be involved by praying, right? The harvest is plentiful. Now, there's some places, as we say, are more open to the gospel right now. Other places are closing to the gospel. But there are definitely places that are open, and we can see a great harvest. We see that happening in Nicaragua right now. We see churches being planted rapidly. We see an open door for ministry. Even if we were to have to leave the country, our national brothers have programs in place to continue to plant churches, and we can continue to see that happening. We've got one thing we're very thankful for right now is we feel like we have a good chain of ministries in place all the way from children up through the church planting program. And that is something we've lacked for years, where we had feeding programs with hundreds of kids and then a junior high program of five kids. You know, and you think, wow, what are we missing? We're not connecting something there. But we've been able to implement a program of discipleship to try and retain those kids and make sure we keep track of them as they grow up. And then eventually go through, we work with Word of Life to work with young people and have camps, and then on into our church planters and Bible institutes. It's exciting to see all of that, but that's taken a few years. But it seems like we're there. We have that chain of ministries that are happening. And so we look at Nicaragua as a harvest time. The fields are white unto harvest, and there's a lot of harvesting going on. It's great, a great time there. But although we see that church planting movement, what we don't see in Nicaragua is a missions movement. We don't see them sending out missionaries yet. And so that is our goal right now, is to turn that church planting movement into a missions movement and see missionaries going out to different parts in our region, probably first, but also in other parts of the world. Nicaraguans can get to places that you and I can't. Our country is friends with all the baddies. So Nicaragua, Iran, Venezuela, those are all our country's allies, and so we have more access into those countries than North Americans would. And so that's a goal for us, is to how can we send missionaries into those types of countries as time goes on. Now look at what he says here. When we focus on the therefore idea, why does he say to do that? The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. He's saying that because he was out among the people, wasn't he? What was he doing? It says above there, he was throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing disease and affliction. And when he saw the crowds, what does it say he had? He had compassion. Missions happens to a great extent because at some point we begin to have compassion for certain peoples or certain groups, or we're called to a certain region because we have compassion, or we pray for a certain group because we have compassion for them. We see what's going on. You're probably more than ever praying for the Ukraine. Why didn't you pray as much 5 years ago? Well, I didn't know so much about it. I didn't see what was happening in the Ukraine. But now you do, and man, you're drawn to pray for those people because you see the suffering that's there. Jesus saw their suffering. He had compassion on them. And that's why he says, look at the harvest. It's plenteous. It's ready. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers into his harvest. That's what it's there for. And that's a challenge to us. Now, probably at some time, I know how, you jokingly say, I love humanity, but it's just people in general that bother me. Right? I'm kind of an introverted person normally, and so, yeah, I love humanity, but I could take or leave the average Joe. How do you feel when you see the people coming into your world that are not from your world? When you see immigrants come in, or when you see people come from different backgrounds, is that a threat to you, or is that a gospel opportunity? That's challenging words, because that's tough. When you say to yourself, well, you know, how do I look at these people that come in from outside our country? Now, obviously, all of us came from somewhere, but true. We've been here longer, right? And so we look at our place, we say, well, this is our place. Do you realize that we see that with Nicaragua, because many Nicaraguans have fled either due to conflict, war, civil war that we had, the lack of jobs, etc. They're going all over the place, and they're not welcome. When Nicaraguans go to Costa Rica, they are not welcome at all. They're looked at as foreigners, and they're looked at the ones that steal the jobs, and they are really looked down upon and persecuted when they leave and go to other countries. It's tough, but it's that or not feed your family. And so they really struggle with that. And here we are. We have great wealth. How do we view the nations around us? Are they a nuisance? Are they a bother to us? Or are they a gospel opportunity? Right now, ABW has what we call the open initiative, where we want to open 7 new fields and 7 unreached people groups. One of those people groups is right here in the Caribbean. There are millions of Buddhists, Muslims, and Hindus in the Caribbean. And they're growing rapidly. That number is just increasing rapidly. Millions and millions of people that you could reach from where you are very quickly. And you could do it in English. So if you want to be recruited for that, I can do that. But I want you to think that way. There's access all over. And in Florida, obviously, there's access to millions of people that need Christ that are coming from other places. And a lot of that can be done in English. But how do you view them? Do you have the compassion that Christ had for them? Do you look at them with compassion? Or are they a nuisance? Are they a problem? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion, for they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And when you think about refugees, that is that verse. They are harassed, they are helpless, and they're like sheep without a shepherd. And what are Christians to do in that type of a setting? We should have compassion, and we should love them, and we should go to them with the gospel. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Right now, we're pushing an initiative for you to put 9:38 on your telephone, on your alarm clock, right? You can set your alarm. This usually goes off during Sunday school. But you set your alarm for 9:38 a.m. and p.m., and when that goes off, it just reminds you to pray. And what you pray for are laborers for the harvest. Not just North American laborers, but Nicaraguan laborers and African laborers to go to the harvest, Koreans and Chinese that'll go into the harvest and take the gospel around the world. Because when you saw those numbers, did you note how many billions of people have not heard of Christ? How many millions of Buddhists and Muslims are there as an open field? We're not going to reach them ourselves. We've got to have missionaries from every country around the world going to those places, and we're asking you to pray for those people. So everyone today is being recruited to put 9:38 somewhere, whether you take a card and put it back on your mirror or something like that, or you set your phone, but pray at 9:38 a.m. and 9:38 p.m. that God would send missionaries into the harvest. On the back, there's a QR code. If you're into that, you can use your phone and get a lot of prayer requests straight from ABWE. You can hook into their system, and they'll give you constant prayer requests. That's also available online and Facebook and other venues. There's a lot of connections being done through social media that can be good things. And one of those is getting those prayer requests and praying for those and praying for God to send those people into the harvest. There are so many opportunities given to us every day to share Christ and given to us all the time. And we have to be mindful of those things. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28 and we'll hit our last therefore. Matthew chapter 28. You probably know where this is going. Did you catch that? We're going somewhere, and that's the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, right? So you want to be awake, you want to know what's going on, and when you know what's going on, you're going to pray for what's going on, and you're going to also pray for laborers for the harvest. And then as you're praying, the danger is that at some point, if you keep doing that, you're going to influence those young people in your church and around you and your kids and your grandkids, and they're going to want to go. And the joke when we were going was, go ahead to Nicaragua, you can leave the grandkids with us. That's what we heard sometimes from grandparents. But the reality is, when you're focused on it, you're going to see people called to do missions. And that's where we are in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to look at verse 16 to start. It says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still doubted. That's interesting to note. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And some would kind of picture that as you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What is the therefore, therefore? Jesus starts out by saying what? All authority has been given to me. All power has been given to me. The right to rule is in Christ's hands. And he will. I mean, you can't avoid that. It says at the end, what's going to happen? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is God, that he is sovereign. That's going to happen. And that's why he says here, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Because of that, we can go. Knowing that, we can go. Having that as the foundation of what we do is why we go. Go, therefore, and make disciples. We go and make disciples, we baptize, we do all these things because we know that Jesus Christ has the authority, that he's sovereign, and that he says at the end, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus Christ doesn't just send us into the world. He goes with us into the world. He's with us in everything that we do, and his authority makes what we do an authoritative message because he is the grand authority, the great king. Go therefore, make disciples, baptize, and teach. Those are all things that we try to do as a mission. Now, ABWE focuses on church planting. And we do that for the very purpose that when missionaries are gone, it is the church that stays and is that foundational place for ministry within different cultures. It may look different in different cultures, but it is always the idea that you collect believers together to encourage one another, to study the Bible together, and then they themselves to eventually disciple and send out missionaries. And so that is just always the theme of what ABWE tries to do. In Nicaragua, we're trying to plant churches because we know when we leave, those churches will still be there, and they'll continue to plant churches and then eventually send out missionaries. So there's a purpose and a plan in all of those things that we do. But it all goes back to that authority that Jesus Christ has. It all is based in that. The fact that he has the power and authority, we can go and do what we want to do. Let me read for you just real quick out of Ephesians chapter 3, just to kind of back up that idea. In Ephesians chapter 3, we read an interesting point. Ephesians 3, 9, well, back up a little bit. He goes, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, says Paul, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. And what is that mystery? He says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. What has been the purpose of God throughout 2,000 years? It is to establish the church in every tribe and tongue. And so that's what we try to do. We try to plant churches, and as those churches get planted, they will eventually plant more churches, have that in their DNA, and then in the long run, be sending out missionaries to other areas around them. So let's go back through that. We need to, first of all, be awake. Right? First of all, we want to be awake. Wake up. There you go. Next, we want to stay alert. And when we know all that stuff, we're going to start to pray for those things. And finally, we're all called in some way to go, whether it's just to your neighbor, whether it's to a certain area, or possibly God's calling you somewhere around the world today. There's lots of ways to do that. And that's another thing we do want to do, is be able to connect you with a mission. Any mission is great. I mean, we have a lot of partner missions, but ABW has a lot of different ways that you can be involved in missions, whether it's being involved in a short-term trip, whether it's being involved in coming and teaching for us in a seminar or a class that you could do for us. It may be taking a skill that you've learned here throughout your years of working in the States. You've got a skill that you can share on the mission field. There's a lot of different ways that you can be involved in missions. It may be a short term of a few days to a few weeks, months, few years, or you could have a second career with us in Nicaragua. We can do that too. So we want you to think of all those different ways, but in some way, take that first step of being involved in missions today. If you haven't chosen a missionary to really focus on and pray for, think about the ones that your church supports or a friend of yours and really pray for them and let others know about them and be that person that is their watch person that watches out for them. If you're doing that, then think about, hey, how can we expand missions, knowledge within our church and get others to be on board? And think ultimately about how you can go and be a part of it around the world. See what's going on, visit a mission field, or even be a part of ministry going on around the world. There's lots of ways to be involved, and we want to connect you with that. We're happy to do that. Laura and I will be out back to talk about those things, but we do want to encourage you to really think about how God can use you and your abilities in missions in some way. Lord, we thank you so much for the promise that we have in Jesus Christ, the crucified and resurrected Lord, this mandate that we have to make disciples. And we can do that wherever we are, Lord, and we pray that this church would be an active church in making disciples and be seeing possibly young people called to missions and young families called to missions, Lord. We pray that you'd also call people that have abilities and skills to use those on the mission field. Lord, today we pray in all of these things, we know that you are sovereign and have authority over all things, Lord. We pray that you would help us to be mindful of what's going on and really pray for laborers. Lord, we pray for those pastors and churches that are meeting today in areas that are persecuted. We pray for your protection over them, and we pray also for the extension of the gospel from those churches. Lord, we thank you for the missionaries that have gone out from third world countries and are striving to spread the gospel in so many areas today. Lord, we thank you that the gospel is spreading rapidly, and we thank you that we can be a part of that, Lord. Thank you for your work in us and this church and all that you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.